The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
At this time, we want to welcome our podcast audience. We want to welcome YouTube, and we want to welcome all of those that are watching by Facebook, or however you may watch this. We are continuing our series on the days of Lot, new insights into the days of Noah. We are eventually going to go into the days of Lot, but right now we began our series at the beginning of this week, and we dealt with something that I'm going to do a recap on now and our first message of this series. So I want to encourage you, if you've not seen the first message, go back here on Facebook. If you're watching by Facebook Live, if you're watching by YouTube, go back and watch that on our channel. You'll see it there in our channel lineup. If you're listening by podcast, you can catch that episode earlier this week. It's going to be in our archives. So now I want to get you up to speed. I want to give you a little bit of a recap on what we went over in the first segment, and then we're going to continue our series. So today I'm going to be dealing with the title of this is going to be called the offspring. We're going to be dealing with the offspring, the defiance, the revolt. I believe it's called the revolt. I don't have that right in front of me, but the revolt and the offspring. That's what we're going to cover on this second segment of this. So let me give you a recap. According to the word of God, along with many writings from early church fathers in Jewish history, such as the books of Enoch, which we covered last week, the book of Yasher, the writings of Josephus, and many other Gnostic gospels. When we compile all that evidence together, we discover that there was angels, or what they were called as watchers, that revolted against God and heaven, that pledged their allegiance to Satan, made a binding covenant, and came down to earth and impregnated the daughters of men, and which produced an offspring that was made up of half man and half angel, or what we would call, the early church fathers called this, demigods. They were supernatural. They had supernatural powers. They were above average in height. In fact, the children of Israel, and we covered this in our last segment, and some of the writings in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel was looking out, the 10 spies that went into the promised land, they said that speaking of the Israelites, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Speaking of their stature and how big they were. And that was the offspring that came from these angels, which were called the Nephilim, or the giants. Now, there was names according to books such as the books of Enoch, there was names given. These names of these leaders was, and I'm going to go over this, Sam Lazaz, their leader, Eric, Arkabla, Ramel, Kakabal, Tamil, Ramil, Danel, Esquil, Baraquil, and then there was what was called the chief of the ten. And I'm going to give you these. I'm going to give you these names and the Hebrew meaning of their names. Again, these were these angels that revolted against God and committed the abomination, according to the word of God, committed the trespass, in which they went into the daughters of men and bore giants in the earth. Here's their names, the 10 leaders of the chief 10. Asel, which means God has created. Armaros, which cursed one or accursed one. Badarel, or the valley of God. Ananel, meaning the reign of God. Zequil, meaning God has hidden or God has protected. Samsapil, which means a son of God, and it's not S-O-N, but S-U-N, son of God. Satarel, which means moon of God or dawn of God. Terel, meaning mountain of God. And Jumjel, meaning day of God. And then Suriel, meaning prince of God. These were the chief 10 according to the book of Enoch. Again, these angels, in the New Testament said they held not their first estate, committed the act of treason against heaven, committed abominations, went into the daughters of men, and bore giants, or in Hebrew, Nephilim, or fallen ones. And this offspring that was produced was responsible for corrupting the seed of man on the earth. So again, the angels came down, they sinned against heaven, went into the daughters of men, produced this lineage of giants, and then it just spread throughout humanity in the time of Noah. According to the writings of Enoch, these angels taught men or civilization, they taught them charms, spells, cutting of roots, and taught them how to become acquainted with plants. In other words, they taught them witchcraft, sorcery, the dark magic, dark arts, all that stuff. Where did it originate from? It stemmed from these angels that came down. One of these, named Azazel, taught men to make swords, knives, shields, and breastplates, and taught them how to make metals of the earth, the art of working these metals, bracelets, ornaments, and the use of antimony, and the beautifying of the eyelids, and all kinds of precious stones, and all coloring and dyes. Samjaza taught the casting of spells. Armaros taught the release of these spells. Baraquizel taught astrology. Cocabel, how do you pronounce it, taught the constellation. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Eraquil, the signs of the earth. Shamseel, the signs of the sun. And Sariel, the course of the moon. And as men perished, they cried. Listen to this. According to Enoch, their cry went up to heaven, and the whole earth had been corrupted through the works that were taught by Azazel, and to him ascribed all sin. So he was like one of the main leaders. And again, these angels corrupted mankind and humanity on the earth. Let's move on. That was a recap of last week in case you missed it. Now we're going to move forward with our second portion of this study. I want to read this and I'm going to repeat this. So I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to read this once and I'm going to repeat it because this is very important. All right, ready? It was not the angels themselves that became what we know today as demons and evil spirits, but it was the spirits of the giants or the Nephilim that eventually died off and remained on the earth till this day. Let me say that again. So in case you were wondering, where is the origin of evil spirits, demonic spirits, spirits of infirmity, a deaf and dumb spirit? All these spirits that are mentioned in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, where did these spirits come from? Again, according to early church writings, early church fathers, Jewish historical accounts, again, such as Josephus, such as the book of Yasher and the book of Enoch, they all, again, reveal that these spirits came from when these giants were killed off. David killed Goliath. There was four other brothers that he had, because some of these lived on even beyond the flood. Now, don't ask me to explain to you how that's possible, but I'm telling you from the studies I've done, there was some of these giants that still remained in the earth, even in the time of David, because David dealt with them. The children of Israel saw them when they went into the promised land. But a majority of them was wiped out by the flood of Noah. And where did their spirits go when they died? Because again, they were not spirits of humanity. They were spirits of demigods or angels. So they were hybrids. So because of this, God would not permit their spirit to go to, at that time, would be Abraham's bosom, which was, again, in a compartment under the earth. You can find that in Luke 16. Or he did not permit them to go into a holding place called Hades, which is, again, is in the, was at that time, was in the center of the earth. But there was a great gulf fixed between Abraham's bosom and a place called Hades. Again, you can find all that in Luke 16. The reason why he did not permit those spirits to go there is because, again, they were spirits of, they were hybrids. So they remain on the earth, and they still are to this day. And they are what we call evil spirits and demons and devils. So the question is, what happened to the fallen angels? You want to know the answer? Let's get into this thing. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 6. 2 Peter 2, 4 and 6. Listen to this. Peter writes, quote, by inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord, he says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and I just told you where that is, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Don't miss it. Again, verse 4 says that God cast, and I'm going to prove to you that it wasn't all of them. There was a particular number of angels that were cast down to hell, and they are delivered there, and they're in confinement there in chains of darkness. Now, why? Now let's go to Jude 6. Jude is the last book of the New Testament before you get to the book of Revelation. Jude, there's only one chapter. Jude 6 says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. What was their abode? Heaven. It was there with God. He, speaking of God, has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So again, we conclude from this that there is a number of angels that are held in a place called hell currently, present tense, and they're in chains of darkness, and they're being held until the day of judgment or the time of the end. And now, watch this. I'm going to show you that this is not all the angels that fell from heaven and revolted with Lucifer, but there is, the Bible says there is specifically four angels. Now, let me show you that in the Word of God. Before we get there, I want to show you a verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 13. And I want to read this, especially verse 12. I'm going to read it from the New King James. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because I want to pull some stuff out of this. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13 in the New King James. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, watch this, principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm going to read Ephesians 6:12 in the New Living Translation. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits. I said evil spirits in the heavenly places. So here the Apostle Paul tells us that we are dealing with these evil spirits. Now, where did they come from? Again, we covered that. these evil spirits, if we agree with the early church fathers, if we agree with the writings of Enoch, the book of Yasher, and other writings, these evil spirits came from the giants or the Nephilim when they died in the flesh. Their spirits remained on the earth till this day because they have a there is a portion of them that is eternal, meaning that it will never die. So it has remained on earth, and these spirits torment the souls of men. Why? Because they're in alliance with Satan. I hope you're following me today. Now, I looked up some commentaries on principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I want to read this a little bit. The mighty princes of all the infernal legions, and great is their power, and that likewise of the legions which they command. Dr. Whitby explains this of, quote, those evil spirits that ruled in the heathen nations which were yet in darkness, and of those that had their stations in the region of the air. Now remember, your Bible says regarding Satan that he's called the prince of the power of the air. And by the way, what that means is Satan has a level of authority in the first and second heaven. Let me say that again. Satan has a level of authority that's been granted to him by God himself in the first and second heavens. According to the book of Isaiah, there is three heavens. Now, some writings and some rabbis believe that there was seven heavens, but I'm going to stick with what Isaiah said. There's three heavens. The first heaven is when you go outside and you look into the skies and you see the clouds, you see the sky. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is beyond that region, and we go into the celestial realm. That's where you have the planets. That's where you have the stars. That's where you have the sun. You have that's the second heaven. And then the third heaven is beyond, the Bible says, beyond the regions of the north. And this is where God's domain is. This is where his throne is. This is where his abode is. This is where these angels once resided in. Now I could get real. Look, I could have got much deeper than this, and I could have went into some theories. And again, I say theories. There is a lot of theories, and there's a lot of strong evidence that there was a creation before the creation of Adam and Eve. Don't get me wrong. It was not a creation of humanity, but there was a creation. In other words, there was a civilization that once existed before Adam and Eve were created in the garden. And that civilization, according to what I researched, was a civilization of angels. And Lucifer, your Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Isaiah, he had a level of authority over them because he was called the anointed cherub. And there is some evidence. Again, don't get all flustered with me. We're just having a good time here. We're discussing some stuff. There is some evidence and some beliefs among rabbis and other commentaries that the planet that these angels once resided on was the planet Mars. And I don't have time. Listen, it would take me 30 minutes to go into the planet of Mars and the mysteries of Mars and how civilizations and nation leaders of nations and commanders we're talking about centuries ago, would command military movements and command wars to either not go to war or to go to war based on the alignments of where Mars was and where it was centered. And they call it the planet of war. And then I could get into the mythology parts of it and why there's called this and the god of war and the god of Mars. And we just don't have time to go into that. But I'm telling you, and you say, well, where does that fit in? There is what's called the gap theory. And if you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and Genesis 1 and 2, there's a gap because the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And rabbis teach that when God created the heavens and the earth, it was perfect. It was complete. But then something happened between 1.1 and 1.2 of chapter 1. And that was the fall of Lucifer and his revolt of heaven. That, my friends, is when the angels revolted, when Lucifer revolted against heaven. And then Then God says, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the earth was without form and void. Again, it was complete, and then it became full of darkness, and it was void, because God at that time created a chamber in the center of the earth as a place of confinement for eternity. And it was originally not created for you and I, but in its original intent, it was created as a reserve holding chamber until the day of judgment for the angels that did not hold their first estate. Thus, that is where Hades came from. Hell, whatever you want to call it. But when we put ourselves in the same alignment with the angels, when we revolt against God, when we sin against God, when we willfully sin against him, God has no choice, because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither can sin. So therefore, that's the whole point of why Jesus Christ came, shed his blood, come on, for you and I. And the Bible says in the book of John, Jesus said, "Behold, I go and prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that where I am, there you may be also." Why did he have to go and prepare a place for us? Because sin did not originate in the Garden of Eden, my friend. It originated in heaven, and it originated, come on, in God's own living room. And that's why Jesus, who had the blood of God coursing through his veins, come on, somebody, as a high priest of the profession of our faith, just like in the Old Testament, the high priest would take the blood in the basin and he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would take the blood and he would sprinkle on the articles of the furniture, on the mercy seat, on the tabernacle, on the menorah, and on this and on the laver. And he would purify the furniture and the tabernacle of Moses. Which, by the way, Moses, when he constructed the tabernacle, Moses, he was seen and constructing something that he had seen a replica of that was in heaven. Come on, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So just as the high priest on the earth went in once a year on the Day of Atonement and would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle his own blood on the articles of the furniture to purify them and to make atonement for the people, Yeshua or Jesus, why do you think when he, come on, when they put him in the tomb and they put the stone over the in front of the tomb, why do you think when Mary showed up and the disciples showed up and he was standing there and he was, and Mary said, the Bible says, supposing he was the gardener, didn't recognize him. Why? Because he had on the priestly garments. And Mary went to touch him and he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Why would he say that? Because the high priest in the Old Testament was not permitted to touch anyone until atonement was made for the people, or they would be considered to be unclean. This is why Jesus, come on, this is why the Bible says he went into the lower parts of the earth. He preached to the spirits of the dead and led captivity captive. He led them out. That's what was it? That was Abraham's bosom. And then he went up, descended into the third heaven. By the way, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul saw it when he was stoned to death and left dead, to be dead on the road in Lystra. And while he was dead, his soul and spirit came out of his body. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul talks about this. He says, "I went into the third heaven and I saw things and heard things that I can't even express in words. And it's not lawful for me to even tell you about it." Why? Because he was stoned to death in the city of Lystra, and the saints of God gathered around him and by the power of the name of Jesus raised him from the dead. And Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians 12. Jesus ascended to the third heaven, the paradise of God, before the throne room of God. He took his own blood as the high priest and purified, come on, heaven, because it was tainted by the sin that originated there, come on, by Lucifer and the revolt against heaven. I none of that's in my notes, but I feel like I need to tell you that, because now I'm telling you, it's going to put the puzzle pieces together for everything. Now, that's why, my friends, when you and I say yes to Jesus and we're born again, the Heavenly Father sees us through the blood of His own Son and says, I've already made atonement for you. Now, where He is, where is Jesus present tense? He's not in a tomb, He's not on a cross, and He's not wrapped in linen garments. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And Jesus said, where you are, where I am, Jesus said, where I am, you may be also. And I got good news for you. According to 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, he said there is going to be a shout, a voice of the archangel, and a trumpet blast of God. And he says, and the dead shall, come on, rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, and together we shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Woo! So I got to get on with this. Dr. Whitby explains. He went on to say that Ephesians 6, these principalities and powers spoken of in the former clause remain mostly regarding the kingdom of darkness, but there are other evil spirits who range abroad to whom the provinces of the world are committed. Now I want to show you something. Turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to say it again. Daniel chapter 10. This passage of scripture here in Daniel chapter 10 concerns the visitation of a man in which the Bible says his body was like topaz, and Daniel sees this man. His face was like lightning, his eyes like the flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I believe it was Jesus, based on what John the Revelator saw in the book of Revelation. It was a theophany. It's a theological term, meaning it was a revelation. It was a revealing of Jesus in the Old Testament before the crucifixion. Anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw him too. He was the fourth man in the fiery furnace. Abraham talked to him. Anyway, that's a whole other study. But listen to this. This man explains to Daniel, listen to this, that his prayers was being delayed by what was called the Prince of Persia. Let me say that again. The Prince of Persia. But he was being helped by Michael, one of the chief princes. Did you see that? So we're told there's a Prince of Persia, and Michael is called the chief princes. Now, question, what is Michael? He's a what? An angel. Okay. So here Daniel refers to a prince of Persia. All right. But listen, it goes on. But then later in chapter 10, Daniel is warned that soon he would have to contend with the prince of Greece. Now, notice you have the prince of Persia and you have the prince of Greece. So it looks here, based on the evidence of what I'm reading, that these are not evil spirits, guys. This prince of Persia and this prince of Greece, I believe personally, are not demonic spirits, but they are actually angels. And they are evil, fallen angels. I believe they are the makeover of the angels that fell from their first estate. And watch this. They have been given dominion or authority over region. In charismatic Pentecostal circles, I've heard this term be thrown around. They would refer to them as, quote, territorial spirits, or the stronghold of that region or that area. So, for example, the Prince of Persia would be the chief stronghold or the territorial spirit, but I don't believe it's a spirit based on my studies. I believe it's an angel. because Michael contended, with the prince of Persia. And Michael will also contend with Lucifer. Read it in your Bible. So it appears that all of the fallen angels that revolted with Lucifer it appears that not all, there's a typo here in my own notes. It appears that not all of the fallen angels that revolted with Lucifer are bound, but a number of them are still active in the earth today and working alongside of Satan. Now, I remember when I was studying this, I remember when in the New Testament, when Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit and he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. Remember that, guys? And what did it say? The Bible says that Satan appeared unto Jesus three times. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, he said, cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple or throw yourself down. And for it is written that the angels of the Lord shall bear thee up and their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Then remember this, Satan said, if you'll bow down to me, I will give you the kingdoms of this world. Have you ever thought about that? So again, now we know that God, the Bible says that God owns the earth and the fullness thereof. The silver and gold is his. And, the cattle on a thousand hills. So everything, God owns it all, right? So how in the world would Satan be able to offer Jesus something that he doesn't own? The answer is, again, Lucifer or Satan, Satan, has been given a temporary level of authority. Watch this. The Bible calls him the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of darkness, the accuser of the brethren. These are some of the terms. Now, remember when I talked about the first heaven, the second heaven, and third heaven? We know, according to scriptures, that Satan was thrown out of the third heaven. In other words, we know, according to scripture, according to the book of Job, chapter 1, Satan can still, he has a level of temporary access that he can come before the throne and accuse us day and night, because the Bible makes it clear. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he accused Job, chapter 1. There was a day in which the sons of God, that's B'nai Elohim, that's the angels, came before God, and they were, and Satan was with them. And what were they doing there? They were accusing Job. So even though they were cast out of heaven, somehow, again, I don't have all the answers, guys, but somehow there's a level. I don't know if there's a certain distance, just like there was in Abraham's bosom, where there was a great chasm that separated them. And though they could see each other, they couldn't connect with each other. Maybe there was a level of access that Lucifer had and the sons of God or the angels of God had, in which they could come so far and they could make those accusations. But watch this. Satan still has a level of authority to operate in the first and second heavens, but we know that he does not have that access of full authority to operate in the third heaven. Does everybody understand that? So watch this. Now, I want to prove to you that not all these angels are bound. I think I've already proven that, because the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia are not spirits. Because again, Michael is an angel and he wrestled with this prince of Persia. All right. And then he warned about this prince of Grecia. So then I want to go to the book of Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Listen to this. Here's what John the Revelator wrote. He says, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star. Somebody say star. This is not a body in heaven. This is not a twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder. That's not what the star we're talking about here. Watch this. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him, that destroys the whole theory that this is a celestial star. That's not what it's talking about. To him is the reference to the star. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God upon their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and the death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. I personally believe that John the Revelator was taking the language of his day that he had to work with and trying to describe something in our lifetime. So imagine this. I want you to get this picture with me for a second. In John's day, there was no such thing as Apache helicopters. So could you imagine describing an Apache helicopter and using the vernacular and using the verbiage that you have of that day, 95 AD, to describe something that you see all the way out in the future? I believe, it's my personal opinion, that what John's seeing here is helicopters. Just based on the description here. The shape of locusts is like prepared for battle, heads, crowns of something like gold, faces like the faces of men, because you would see in the cockpit, you would see the face of a man, but the hair was like a woman's hair because the propeller swinging around, their teeth was like the teeth of a lion, they're armed to the gills with missiles and with gunfire, breastplates of like iron, and the sound of their wings like the sound of chariots and horses running. Listen, think about a helicopter running. That's what it sounds like. So I believe he was given a description of these, but that's not what I want to, now I want to home in on something here. Watch this. Verse 11, this is Revelation 9, 11. And they had a king over them. Now the Bible tells you who this king was. Ready? They had a king over them. It says, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, or in Greek, Apollyon, or destroyer. So stop, time out. Obviously, not all, in case you didn't believe what I said earlier, in case you say, well, no, all the angels were bound in that place of confinement and chains and held to everlasting darkness. Well, I'm sorry, but when we get to the Revelation chapter 9, there's an angel of the bottomless pit, and he is not bound. He is free. And he, listen to this, this angel, it says, this king over this bottomless pit. In other words, this angel is going to be influential in whatever these locusts are that John saw. He's going to have power over them, influence over them. And you say, well, that doesn't even make sense. Of course, listen, guys, in the book of Revelation, I believe it's in Revelation 11, it tells you that 10 kingdoms will give their power over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. So they're going to be influenced by darkness. They're going to be influenced by evil. And again, if Daniel dealt with a prince of Grecia and a prince of Persia that had some type of regional authority to be able to hinder prayers and to hinder things from happening, then friends, again, it doesn't take too much common sense to figure this out. Watch this. verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Verse 13, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, quote, to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, listen to this, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Verse 15, so the four angels, listen, who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. And I want to stop right there. Let's go back up here. I got to show you this. You're going to get this. Peter said that those angels that revolted against heaven and God was cast down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Jude said they're reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. But then, so then we get into Revelation 9, and John the Revelator says he heard the sixth angel sound and say, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So we just now got a clue to where these four angels, first of all, we discover right here, four of these angels. Remember, there was, according to Enoch, there was 10 chief angels, 10 under Lucifer. Now, according to John the Revelator, four of the 10 are present tense bound in the river Euphrates in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. But future tense, John says these four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates will be released. And listen to this, in case you don't believe what I'm telling you, John says these four angels have been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year to release and kill of a third of a mankind. And guess what? It happens during the time of judgment or the tribulation. That's a heavy nugget. So you know what that means? That means, do the math, guys. This is a real brain buster. You ready? If there was 10 chief angels, I'm just speaking, I'm not talking about, according to Enoch, there was 200 angels that came down and had sexual relations with them. But out of the 200, there was 10 chiefs. So let me just focus on the 10 chief angels. If four of them are bound in the river Euphrates and will be released in an hour and a day and at the exact moment to kill a third of mankind, then that means there's six angels that are unaccounted for. And I believe it's possible. Again, I can't be dogmatic on this because I don't have all the answers to this. I'm just pulling from research and clues and writings and research I've did. That means that six of these angels, these chief angels, are still in the earth somewhere. Could it be possible? I said, could it be possible that these six angels are in fact the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Grecia, and maybe, just maybe, there's four other chief prince angels, these princes, they're somewhere in the earth, perhaps the Prince of Babylon. But that would explain a lot of things to me, a lot. Now, let me get into, I was going to make this on a second part or a third part of this, but let me just go right into this thing since we're already open this can. Because look, I feel in my spirit that we need to go right into this because I've built this foundation up and it's going to lead right into this. There is a lot. There has been all the way since 1947, 1948, into the 1960s, 1970s, even in 1950s, there has been a lot of chatter on UFOs, aliens, extraterrestrials, strange lights, strange orbs, phenomenons, strange, unexplainable frequencies coming from planets outside of our solar system or beyond the space. And it's spawned a whole lot of interest, especially those who are not born again. You know, many people. I'm going to give you this quote here. A professor, according to an article from Futurism, said the belief in aliens could soon replace traditional religion. Let me read that again. This was a headline that we posted on End Time Headlines. A professor says that belief in aliens could soon replace traditional religion. According to this article, a number of Americans who believe in intelligent alien life is now about the same as the number who believe in God. And I believe it. And Diana Posolka doesn't think it's a coincidence. She went on to say, by the way, she's a professor of religious studies at the University of North Carolina and the author of American Cosmic, which is a newly published book in which she argues that belief in UFOs and aliens is following the same path historically blazed by new forms of religion, and the humans might be hoping aliens will be our species savior from above. Wow. I know where I'm going with this. So think about everything I'm telling you. And we're leading up to this. As for why humans might be more willing to embrace this new religion of alien belief now than in the past, according to this professor, she says advances in space exploration play a huge role. But she also thinks an increasing belief that our planet is headed toward a crisis factors into the equation. Quote, a lot of people see disaster on the horizon, and there's a deep fear that we won't be able to save ourselves. Thus comes, ready, cue the alien saviors. What about this? What about all these other articles? Like, there was a report that the Pentagon released, an official report that said, quote, off-world vehicles not made on this earth. Popular Mechanics recently released a thorough investigation in which they released a report that multiple sources went on to say that that the U.S. government released new information wherein which they revealed these unexplained and again unidentified flying objects that defied laws of gravity, physics, light, all kinds of things. They were called it took place during the U.S. Mimitz, and it was the what was called the tic-tac UFOs. Most of you guys have seen it. They had a series on it on television. It was all over Fox News, CNN, mainstream media made the whole thing. And then we had and it seems like, guys, more and more, the acceleration of these alleged sightings, discoveries, new information is going and going and coming out more and more and more. Recently, The publication, The Sun released an investigation that happened all the way back in 1947 with the Roswell, New Mexico incident, in which an investigator who was there wrote in his journal that there was an indestructible debris that he said that, quote, was not made by human hands. It was discovered in the wreckage. Now, watch. I know you're saying, wait a minute, isn't that an asinine a statement or an oxymoron? How can it be an indestructible debris? Well, listen, the only thing I could think of is, remember, in aircraft, you have a destructible aircraft, but inside of the aircraft is an indestructible black box. So think about that for a second. Again, I'm not going to read all this because I know we went on. Then the recent one that made a lot of headway was a former Israeli space security chief that says that aliens not only exist, but humanity is not ready for the truth. in this exclusive interview, this former Israeli space security chief said he's a retired Israeli general. In this interview, he said that, quote, that even President Trump knows about it. And that he claims in this interview that the United States has some form of a covenant or agreement with these, quote, aliens. And he's not talking about illegals. This is, I'm telling you, this made a lot of headway. And then there was a recent interview that Stephen Colbert did with former President Barack Obama, in which he asked him straight up, is there such a thing as UFOs, aliens? And Obama made the joke that says, I can't talk about that. And even Stephen Colbert said, that means there is. Now, where am I going with this? What do I believe? Because I know that's going to be the question. Or Brother Ricky, do you believe extraterrestrials are aliens as we know or as depicted in Hollywood? The simple answer is no. I don't believe they're another species and have and out there in another galaxy or another solar system. I believe that if, let me just say it like this. If we had an incident took place like Independence Day where an aircraft appeared and there was a revealing of quote unquote aliens that got off of this craft and they were embodied. And let's just say based on all the depictions of these quote unquote aliens, they're about 3 to 4 foot tall. They call them the grays. They have a grayish type of body. They have no hair on their heads, no hair on their eyebrows. They have black eyes. They're almond shaped. They're large eyes. Every depiction of them is like this. So I'm not saying that these people are crazy, and I'm not saying that I'm writing them off as nut jobs or loon bags. What I'm saying is I believe that I don't think it's a coincidence that they're all describing these quote unquote beings in the same light and the same depictions. Let me go back to this hypothetical scenario. Let's just say some craft appeared and some type of a being stepped out of this thing that had on that had flesh and you saw it. I would not be quick to say, oh, there it is. There's the proof of alien life. No, again, based on what I know and what I'm trying to teach you today, friends, I don't believe they're demons. I believe they're angels. I don't believe they're demons. I believe they're angels. Now, I know people say, well, no. I believe they're demons and not angels. Well, here's why. Let me give you the reason why I believe they're angels. Fallen angels. The Nephilim that still remain on the earth. Number one, again, let's go back to what Enoch said. Enoch tells us that it was the angels that taught men how to create weapons, create armor, create potions, create spells to take the minerals of the earth. This is why I'm not shaken. I'm intrigued, in case you didn't know. I am intrigued by, I watch all these documentaries on UFOs and aliens and extraterrestrials, and it's amazing how they find, we found a type of mineral that is not earthly of origin. I'm not moved by that. You know why? Because there is minerals and there is substances that are probably in the third heaven that we have never seen with our earthly eyes. So if these angels, oh, come on, somebody's going to get this in a minute. If these angels taught us, humanity, how to do these things, then wouldn't you think they were already doing it before they fell? If there was, listen to me, if there was already a civilization of angels, it means they had already built these. Let me just go here for a second. I shouldn't even go here because I'm going to get everybody started. There is speculation that the New Jerusalem is shaped like a pyramid. and the light of the light of the New Jerusalem comes from above, and there is no sun because Jesus is at the top of it, or he's the head of the New Jerusalem, and his light supernaturally shines down to the rest of it. And there's, again, this is all speculation, so don't take this to the bank. I'm just throwing this out there as a point of interest. They're saying that the New Jerusalem could very, and I've heard scholars teach this, could be shaped like a pyramid. It goes up and gets narrow and gets wider as it goes at the base. Listen, to me, that would explain why did ancient civilizations construct the pyramids in Giza, in Egypt? Why? Again, because they were replicating on earth what was in heaven. And think about it. If it was already built in heaven, they were trying to replicate it on earth. So this is why I'm not moved by this stuff. So let me get to the point. So you say, so do these aircrafts exist? Listen, let me tell you this. In the writings of Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, who was an eyewitness to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. In his writings, there were 7 supernatural signs of God that took place prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. One of those supernatural signs was, in his own writings, he said there was chariots of fire that was seen flying. And he said not only was there chariots, but he said there were seen soldiers in these chariots flying over the city of Jerusalem. Now listen, that was back in 70 or before 70 AD. Now today, if you saw chariots of fire, and by the way, Elijah, the prophet, was caught up in a chariot of fire. It's probable based on scripture that Enoch was taken in a chariot of fire. So if we saw a chariot of fire today in the sky, you and I would call that a UFO. There is some speculation that even the wheel in the middle of a wheel has a double connotation that Ezekiel saw and witnessed and was describing what we call today a UFO. Now let me go into the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind nor troubled either by spirit nor word nor by letter as from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away, that's apostasy, a defection, or the falling away from the truth comes first, and the man of sin, that's the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember Paul's stirring up the minds of the Thessalonians and the brethren there? And he says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Listen to this, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. I want you to pay a special attention to verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. Ready? This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Let me give you what signs and lying wonders is in the understanding of that. The word signs here can be defined as a sign, a prodigy, an unusual occurrence, or something that transcends common course of nature. In other words, we have no understanding for this. We have no point of reference to this. This would be an unidentified occurrence. We can't identify it. We're puzzled. We're baffled. And Satan, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, is going to master in signs and lying wonders. The word wonder here And its original understanding of this in the Greek means false and counterfeit miracles. So listen, who's the mastermind? Now, let me read the rest of this. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'm getting ready to close here on this segment. So let me read this again. The coming of the lost one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Watch this, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, because they did not love the truth that they might be saved, for this reason, the Bible says in verse 11, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe not a lie. Notice he said not a lie, the lie. Question, what is the strong delusion that is going to cause humanity to believe not a lie, but the lie, that they may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in righteousness? Man, I feel the fear of God coming on me when I'm talking about this. According to this professor who wrote this piece in Futurism, he said that the world is ripe because they see disaster on the horizon, and because of such deep fear and uncertainty that because they can't save themselves, they are looking and are anticipating a savior. And according to this professor, more people are now looking for a savior to come out of a flying saucer and save humanity rather, come on somebody, than the eastern sky split. And as the Son of Man, come on, as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the Son of Man come. The majority are not looking for the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. They're not looking for him to come on and split the eastern sky. They're looking for, because they have been programmed and they have been preconditioned by novels, by fiction, by television series, by movies from Hollywood, and the whole nine yards. We have, as humanity have been, come on, if Satan is the prince of the power of the air, listen, it means he controls the airways. He controls satellite television. He controls Hollywood. He controls media. He controls news and information. He controls what you and I are hearing and seeing. And we are being programmed and preconditioned, come on, to believe the lie. Could it be possible that we, come on, are on the pre, we are on the brink. I will say that. I get tongue tied. I want to move on. We're on the brink of a future event that's about ready to unfold. That would cause, because remember this, guys, I always remember this. In Luke 21, Jesus said there would be great and fearful sights from heaven. And then he says, and men's hearts will fail them for fear of the expectation of the things that are coming upon the earth. I'm going to tell you this, guys. This is what I want to close with, this second message of this series. You and I need to be ready. We need to be prepared. I want you, listen, if you know people that are intrigued by aliens, UFOs, extraterrestrials, they're searching, they're looking for God, but they got the wrong phone number. They're looking for the answers. I want you to share this with them, this podcast, this YouTube, this Facebook post. Tag them in this, share this with them, because they need to be ready. Because listen, the Bible says God will purposely allow a strong delusion to come for those who are not willing to receive the truth. I don't want that to be with anybody. So before we close this broadcast, if you're somehow watching this, you're listening to this, and you're not right with God, you've never made your heart right with God, you don't have a relationship with God, or maybe you're backslid from God, I want to give you this opportunity right now. Will you pray with me? Listen, I don't want you to repeat anything after me. I just want you to open your heart, open your mind, and open your spirit to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to invite him to come knocking at your door. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. He's saying, if you'll let me come in, I'll come in. I'll come in. I'll make my residence in your heart and I'll come in and live in you and through you. And you can have peace of mind to know that if something was to happen today or tomorrow or next week, that you are ready, come on, to be with the Lord and ready to go no matter what comes down the pike. Because I believe it, things are starting to really accelerate now. So if that's you, I want to pray right now for you. And then please don't go real quick because we got some information I want to give you. So right now, let's pray. Father in heaven, you know those that are watching or listening right now at this broadcast, either live or by the rebroadcast of this. Lord, you see their eternal condition, their eternal state they're in right now. Father, you know that whether they have a relationship with you, whether they're backslid, whether they're prodigal, where they've gone astray, or they have never, maybe this is the first time they've ever heard the God, anything like this. And Lord, it has shaken them. And they know in their hearts right now, and you know who you are that are listening right now. And you know that if you're not right, and if the Lord was to split the eastern sky right now, sound that trumpet, you would not be ready. If that's you right now, I want you to repent where you're at. Turn your heart towards heaven, towards God, and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness, wash you in your sin. Say, I am no longer going to do things on my own, but I choose to put my faith and put my trust in you, Lord Jesus. I'm praying for you right now. If that's you today, I pray the Holy Spirit would convict you. He's coming upon you right now. I believe he's invading your home, invading your car, invading your living room. He's coming right in your place, all up in your business. And he's drawn, the Bible says, no man can come into the Lord Jesus lest the Spirit draw him. And he's drawing you to himself. Why? Because he loves you that much. Listen, everything I just told you, there was a revolt in heaven. And if you want to be technical, we as humanity is caught between a war of good and evil, a war between the good angels, the bad angels, against God and against Lucifer. We're just caught in the middle. And God is saying, you're going to have to make a choice. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. You're either going to serve Lucifer and you're going to have the same fate as those angels who revolted with Lucifer. And you're going to spend eternity in a place called the lake of fire. Or you could say, you know what? I'm going to choose the winning side and you're going to choose God. So we want to give you that opportunity today. And we just thank the Lord today for your decision today in Jesus' name. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, guys, endtimeheadlines.com. If you're listening by podcast, that's our main website. If you're watching by Facebook, by YouTube, you're watching this. Again, our main website is right there. I want you to visit our main website. You can click the subscribe button, get a one-time digest. You'll get it one email every day. Get our digest into your inbox. If you have not downloaded our free app yet, please do that. You can go to the Apple store. You can go to the Android store. You can type in End Time Headlines, download that free app today, and you will keep up with our ministry notifications, what we're doing, the podcast, the YouTube, the whole nine yards is there. And listen, if you're watching this by YouTube or watching by Facebook, we do have a free podcast and it's available on Spotify and it's available free on Apple. Listen, everything we do is free. The digest, the podcast, the app, everything is free. All we ask, again, if our ministry is a continuous source of blessing to you, it's a source of information, revelation, and transformation to you, your family, and it's just been a continuous source of blessing to you, and you'd like to sow a one-time gift, or maybe you'd like to become a monthly partner, we ask that you'd pray about that, and whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we ask that you would generously consider supporting the ministry of End Time Headlines. And again, you can do that by going to the app, going to the bottom to the right and click on the donate button. Or if you want, you can go to the main website. Either way, it's going to take you to the electronic section where you can give electronically. Or there's going to be a section down at the bottom that you're going to see where you can give by check or money order. And again, that opportunity will be given to you to give again by check or money order if you'd like to give old school style. So again, we love you guys. God bless you. And thank you so much for joining us today for this second segment of New Insights of the Days of Noah. We'll be back next week and we'll bring you our third installment of this message, and then we'll eventually go on to the days of Lot. So God bless you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.